My name is Luke. I'm one of the pastors here at Westgate. We're so glad that you are all here this morning. If you are a guest with us or you're visiting, trying to kind of figure out what church is going to look like for you this year, welcome. If you're watching online, a special welcome to you as well. We're glad you're doing so and would love to meet you after the service to help you guys do that discernment. So to get started today, because I'm going to teach you all how to make the perfect cup of coffee, okay? This is widely regarded by all of the coffee nerdiest of nerds that this is the way to make the perfect cup of coffee. It's called a pour over. Raise your hand if you've ever made a pour over for yourself. Okay, keep your hand raised if you're quite confident you did it correctly. Okay, good, this is good. Okay, so here's how a pour over works. First, we need to talk through the different elements of what we have. We have right here, this is called a Kalita Wave. There are several different systems you can use. This is the system I prefer. This is gonna be how we do really most of the work. This is gonna be kind of the structure to our system. We also need a filter. Can't make coffee without a filter, right? Otherwise, you're just gonna have a lot of coffee beans. Okay, speaking of coffee beans, I have some freshly ground coffee beans from a specialty source. Made sure that those were responsibly sourced coffee beans, freshly ground this morning. I had to do it at home, otherwise I would have really done it right before this took place, but they should still be fresh enough, I think. So we're going to get this scale. I have my kitchen scale here, actually Hillary's kitchen scale, right here ready to go. I'm going to make sure that's all teared out. And then, of course, you need water, right? That's how you need it. So I've perfectly heated this water to 205 degrees. Because that's exactly the right temperature it needs to be in order to make a perfect cup of coffee, okay? So I'm going to wet the filter to start, okay? Are you taking notes? Everyone paying attention? Okay, I'm going to wet the filter. All right, this is good. And then I'm going to tear my scale down to zero. All right, beautiful. And then I need 18.3 grams of grounds. Careful, 16, 18.3. Okay, very good. All right, perfect. So we've got that going there. I should get rid of that water under there, but I don't have a way to do that. Anyone? Thank you. We'll heat that up for you. Perfect. Delicious. Gonna love it. Oh, yuck. What did you just do that? Gross. Okay, that's great. All right. First, we're going to do what's called crema. We're going to get things going here. So I'm going to do 50 grams of water, and I'm going to get this going just a little bit, and I'm going to shake it a little bit to make sure that all the grounds get wet. Okay, and then we're going to wait 15 seconds. Okay, now we're going to add another 100 grams of water in there. Okay, perfect, beautiful. Now we're at 150. All right, now we're going to wait 15 seconds. Nice. Thank you. All right, now we're going to add another 100 grams of water in there. We'll get to 250. See how it's coming out there. Perfect. We're right at the tip there, so it's just enough for it to give it time to really make sure that those grounds are seeping in the correctly temperatured water. The filtered water, by the way. Did I mention that? The water needs to be, don't just grab a tap water, okay? We're not trusting the government. I don't know what my thing is against the government. I don't know. Just get filtered water. I don't know. I got to think about that, I guess. Okay. And anything is fine. We're going to 320 grams, okay? So we're almost done here. 320 grams to a ratio of 18.3 grams of coffee. Beautiful. That's going to come right through, and it will be delicious. Perfectly extracting the flavors right out of those delicious coffee beans, which, by the way, were probably grown, I don't remember exactly which ones these were probably grown somewhere in a different part of the world, and were probably grown very responsibly, and then they were pulled from the plant as a coffee cherry, and then they were dried or washed somehow, and out comes a little green bean, and then those green beans were then shipped probably to the United States somewhere, where someone very carefully took the green beans to a roastery, and they roasted those coffee beans. That's how a green bean becomes a black coffee bean, and made sure that very, very carefully they were set to go to then be delivered freshly to my doorstep, okay? And you're all wondering, why are you wasting my time? Why are you wasting my time? Well, because we're talking about how anything is possible. And in anything is possible, we need to understand that everyone has a role to play. Everyone has a role to play, okay? So let me give you a quick recap of this series that we've been on, Anything is Possible, all right? And you may think that this is sort of like a churchy sales pitch, but it's not at all. This idea that anything is possible through God and this body is a deeply held conviction of the hearts of the leaders of this church, that truly anything that God wants to do through us, he can and will do. There are a few responses or action steps that we need to be taking in order to do that. One of those is listening, like Andrea talked about this morning. And then a few other things. If you've been following along with the series, you know that Pastor John Ortberg was here and shared a message about the withered hand and how we need to first come to God with authenticity in our weaknesses, understanding that he doesn't expect perfection out of us. He simply wants us to come as we are to be used by him. Then we talked a little bit about how our intimacy with God, our intimate relationship with him, will ultimately be the thing that drives his inspiration in our lives. That the closer and more in step we are with him, the better we are going to be able to hear his voice speaking to us. Then last week, Pastor Kevin was here, and he talked about how the explosive power of unity. And this is explosive power that can be used for good or not for good. But in the church, when we find unity, God can do anything. He can do anything. And today, we're going to add a tack on a little line to that idea of unity and talk about how when we all use our gifts, unity is possible. And anything is possible. So back to the illustration here. You have probably most often just experienced drinking a cup of coffee. One unified, singular experience without possibly fully realizing the amount of elements that had to go into making that experience happen, right? The people that grew the beans, the people that washed the beans, the people that shipped the beans, the people that roasted the beans, the people that brought the beans to me, then a grinder that I had to use to grind the beans, the water that I had to give, the kettle that heats up the water, the little glass thingy, the little metal thingy, the paper filter, the thing, whatever, and then ultimately the beautiful mug, Westgate Church, the beautiful mug, that made it possible to drink the coffee. One unified experience only made possible by the collective sum of multiple different parts unified in one singular purpose, to make the perfect cup of coffee. Eliminate any one of those elements, and you no longer have the single perfect unified cup of coffee. Now do you all understand why I wasted your time? You feel good?
Nobody's time.
I wasted nobody's time. Kevin Book is fully on board with the illustration. This is good. And if you're wondering when we're going to talk about the Bible, the answer is right now. Could you please stand for us and follow along as I read from Ephesians chapter 4. This is the passages that we've been looking at over the last few weeks of this series. By the way, you know that if you haven't been a part of the series or haven't heard those, that you can go find those very easily through the internet. Provides that opportunity to you. Each message is about the length of a commute or of like a run. You can go find those podcasts or those videos online to watch those messages. Here's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Let's pray. God, without a doubt in my mind, You have brought each individual person into this space for a specific reason today. Because of the depth to which you love us and know us, God, you have gifted each of us for a purpose in this world, a good intention designed to help your kingdom grow and flourish. And God, I thank you for the brothers and sisters who are in this space today with us. I thank you for the love that you have for them, for their giftedness and for their goodness, God. Would you illuminate those ideas in our hearts today? And would you help to pave a path for this united body to move forward exactly the way your will would be done for us? In Jesus' name we pray all together. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. Okay, so last week, I'm going to move this out of the way. Here. I don't actually have time to drink it. There you go. There you go. All right, last week, Pastor Kevin was here talking about the explosive power of unity. Now, the thing that struck me when I read the passage of Ephesians talking about unity is that unity is not equivalent to sameness. Okay? Absorb that for just a minute. Unity is not equivalent to sameness. We do not want to be the type of church that represents some picturesque idea of what it means to be a Christian, and then bring people here, trick people into coming here so that then they can conform to that image. That is not the design of God's creation. Unity is not equivalent to sameness. My takeaway from Pastor Kevin's message last week was that each of us has a responsibility to have humility and operate in gentleness and patience with one another, and be sure that we are all finding our own role in bringing unity to the body. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church, verse 11 says. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. You may have heard messages about those five different giftings. We're not going to go super deep into those this morning. Their responsibility, each responsibility, is to equip God's people to do their work to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to Christ's standard. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes it this way. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14. He says, "Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I am not an eye,' would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body." So let's think about this idea of each of us having a role in unity. And let's just picture for a minute the greatest superhero movie made of all time. Avengers 1, if you weren't clear on that. Where you have this culmination of all these different individual storylines of different characters that have their own faults, but also their own special gifts. And it takes a whole journey for them to finally come to unity in working together. But when they do, anything is possible. They can defeat the whoever, the aliens and whatever, right? And if you're, the intrigue of that story is the unity that they find even though they're different. And if you think I'm using too many cultural references, let's think about it theologically for a minute. We believe, as the church has for the entirety of its history, that God exists in a Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The perfect example of difference making up unity. That each part of the Trinity has its own role, has its own identity, and yet somehow in a mysterious way that we can't fully comprehend because of our inability to fully understand unity, the three parts unify into one existence of God. Or you can think about it biblically. Let's talk about the Avengers of the Bible, the original 12 disciples. In this group, if you know the stories, you have a fisherman, you have a tax collector, you have some who were leaders, you have some who were followers. You have Peter, who is described as the rock, who the church will be built upon. You have John, who's described as the beloved. Thomas, who's the doubter, who found faith. Simon the zealot, which means like the enthusiast. He was the hype man of the group. And some worried that they weren't going to be able to feed all the 5,000 people. That was their focus. Some wanted to pull their swords out and stage a coup against the government. Some wanted to protect Jesus from those pesky children. Without question, these 12 individuals were different, but the explosive power of their unity in Christ launched the greatest global movement in human history. There is explosive power in unity, and unity is created when each unique part of the whole lives out the fullness of their gifts. Let's take a minute with that. There is explosive power in unity. And unity is created when each unique part of the whole lives out the fullness of their gifts. Let me ask it to you this way. Do you think that Westgate Church is what it is today because a few uniquely qualified and gifted people dreamt a dream and made it so? No, of course not. Of course not. The history of a church like ours goes back to its roots, and you understand that the body is what made the body what it is. That without the leadership teams, without the diaper changers, without the musicians, without the Bible scholars, without those friendly relationship builders that know how to work the room, without the generous donors who give to make the facility work and the staff be working out, without the youth group leaders, without the prayer warriors, without the funeral reception hosts, without the small group leaders, without the custodians, without the event planners, without the coffee makers, Westgate Church would not exist as we know it today. It's a simple fact. And we're in a place where God is telling us that something next is coming. And the reason we know that is because something good is happening now. Something meaningful is happening in the lives of the people that come to this church. And God is doing something in us, in our hearts, in our body, and he's doing things already through us, through our body, outside of the walls of this church. And today, the big takeaway for you all is that if God is going to continue working through this body, then this body is going to have to continue doing the work. If God is going to continue working in this body and through this body, then this body is going to have to continue doing the work. Our job today is to inspire you and to equip you to see yourself, you listening, you yourself as part of that body with Christ as the head, where we will see anything become possible here at Westgate. So we're going to inspire you and we're going to equip you to see your role in this body's work, okay? And it would seem a bit disingenuous to stand up here alone for 35 minutes and do a message on many parts, making up one whole. So we want to hear you have hear three different perspectives on this idea of serving in the body. So I'm going to invite up three of the members of our staff leadership team, Kevin, Andrea, and Jake. Okay, I'll give you a quick synopsis. The four of us plus Mike Brinkman, who you'll hear preaching the last message in this series next Sunday, make up our staff leadership team that sort of help all the different teams move in the direction that God would have us. Kevin, you know, is our lead pastor. Jake is our new next-gen pastor, leading all of our efforts for birth through 30-year-olds or so. And Andrea is our pastor of prayer and worship. And we are excited to give each of them an opportunity to share from their hearts this morning. You ready?
Thanks. So you heard Luke read in 1 Corinthians 12 about how all the different parts of the body form one body and how we can't do without a hand or an eye. And later on in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the giftings of apostles and prophets and teachers and the gifts of miracles and divine healing and revelation knowledge and leadership and different kinds of tongues. But then at the end it says, "And now I will show you a superior way to live that is beyond comparison." And then it goes to 1 Corinthians 13. And it says, "If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongues of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal." And then it goes on to just talk about this love. And if you look at the word love there in verse 1, in the Aramaic, I didn't put this up there, but it's huba or hoba, H-O-O-B-A, and it's a homonym that also means to set on fire or burning love. And Brian Simmons explains, he's the one who did the Passion Translation, that it's love coming from the inner depths of the heart as an eternal energy, as an active power of bonding hearts and lives in secure relationships. Just think about that kind of love. And in the Greek, it's agape, which describes the highest form of love. It's the love that God has for his people. It's an intense affection that must be demonstrated. It's loyal, endless, and unconditional. I mean, imagine us serving in our gifts with the kind of love that God has for his people. When we think about serving, sometimes when people are talking to me about something that they're excited about, it's like they get tears in their eyes when they talk about kids or youth or, you know, meeting people that don't know Jesus. You know, there's a gentleman that serves with us at 36 in Lindale, and he can't talk to anybody without mentioning Jesus. It's just like, do you know Jesus? And it just flows out of him. But if there's something like that, that stirs your heart, that it doesn't mean you're going to be really good at it at first. It doesn't mean that you're going to know exactly how to do it. But if that there's a stirring in your heart, love looks like something. That love compels us to go search for the one. That love compels us to change dirty diapers. That love compels us to, like Taylor and Tyler this week went and did a Minnesota camp with people with disabilities, and they kept sending pictures all week, and the smiles on their faces were just like you can't wipe it off, because they were serving out of this love for people that others look at as less than, that aren't the ones that we're lifting up on pedestals all the time saying how awesome are they, but you could see in their eyes as they were serving that they genuinely love the people that they're serving. I met this week with the Soul Sisters, and these are the widows in our congregation. And the love that they have for families. We were talking about prayer because so many of them, because of their age, can't, you know, be the ones that are out there doing the physical serving, but they can pray. And their hearts, they're like, let us know. Like, we want to know the families that we can pray for. We want to see their pictures. We want to pray for them by name. Like, this ignited something in them. Let God's love flow through you to whatever you're doing. Let his love be the reason that we go and we serve. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we can't do this without you. We need your love flowing through us to those that you want to touch, to those one out of the 99. God, give us those hearts. Give us your very heart that when we look at somebody, we see them through your eyes. Help us, Jesus, to have the love that you had, that you laid your life down. The kind of love that God had, that he sent his only son. Help us, Jesus, to have that love flowing through each of us. We can't do it without your love. Please fill us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jake. If we've met, it's nice to see you again. If we haven't met, I'm the new guy. So this is slightly scary. I've got some sweaty hands going on. But you know what? I'm also very excited about this. It's kind of like speed dating a little bit. And one of my superpowers is vulnerability. So I'm going to get a little vulnerable with you guys today. I hope that's okay. So, but before we get there, you know, we kind of have to set the stage a little bit. If we're going to talk about serving and unity and this beautiful picture, I think we also need to talk about spiritual growth as well. And in Ephesians 4:13, which is what was read a little bit ago and much more, I'm going to read it again. It says this: "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." Well, Luke mentioned that it was a sum of parts, you know, the apostles, the preachers, the evangelists, and that's very true. And I think in many of our Christian perspectives, that's spot on, right? We need the function of the body. But this is also even taking that, I think, one step further. Okay, the statement "this will continue" is not just function, but it's just this ongoing growth process that every one of us is currently on. Let me distinguish this here. I hope I don't offend anybody, but maybe I will. Okay, so it's not the growth process of necessarily theological education, how much you know, or Bible memorization, or any spiritual skill that can be mastered. Even though those are wonderful things, they're not bad, they're wonderful things, but this is a process that's talking about of intimately knowing Jesus and getting to know the heart of God. And that's just an unending relationship, okay, that is always growing in each of us. Okay, now we set the scene a little bit. So here we go. Let's be a little bit vulnerable, okay? I don't even know how to say this. So my calling into ministry is maybe what we would define it as, being in the church culture a little bit here. So when I was feeling like I was called into ministry, when I was thinking like maybe that's something I can do, I was really scared, to be honest. I had fears, and I'll say this sarcastically here, okay? So because God has so generously allowed me to face my fears as I've gotten to know him more. Maybe you can relate to that. But one of this is being called into ministry. I didn't want to be called into ministry because I didn't want to take on the title of pastor. That just seemed so daunting. It just felt like I didn't know enough. I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the character. And it was even got more personal as I listened to that voice more. It was more personal. It was like, man, I don't even know if I come from the right family. You know what I mean? I don't know if I come from the right place to be this thing on a stage telling people about Jesus. I don't see that in me. I just viewed myself as this broken person that was beyond repair. But here's the deal. The story doesn't stop there. It was a "but God" story. But God put one step in front of me all along the way until I began to see the bigger picture that he was doing in my life. And what I learned from that is that God never calls people to him, to serve him, that's got it all figured out. He calls the unqualified. He calls the unqualified. God is the master developer, and he is always putting us in situations that are beyond our capabilities. And boy, did I make a lot of mistakes over the years in ministry. We're not going to talk about all those mistakes, but I got them. And as I look back on those mistakes, I laugh a little bit. I cringe. Yeah. Because I realize how untalented I really was when I review that mixtape a little bit in my head. But I also am extremely grateful for those moments because I realize how much God loves me and how much God is doing in my own life. And that's beautiful. And I could stop there and say, hey, there's your motivational speech to jump in. Go and do it. But it's not that easy. And in full transparency for me, there have been many moments in the years of ministry where I ask the question, I come to a low moment, and I ask the question, am I even making a difference? Does what I do matter? Maybe if you serve in some capacity here at this church or beyond this church, you've asked yourself that same question. You're putting in all the work over and over and over, and you're wondering, does it even matter? Does it even matter? I remember a particular moment, one of those was probably more recent in my life. We won't get into super details here, where I felt this way, and I wanted to quit ministry altogether. And as I woke up that morning, and I was feeling this way, and I was driving to my ministry job, I was just like, man, I was in that headspace. And then I opened my computer, and I saw an email from a previous high school student of mine. And man, this just, it changed everything for me that day in all the right ways. Now, he had gone off to college, and he graduated, and he said this, "Hi, Jake. I hope you're doing really well. As you remember from the last time we saw each other, I landed a full-time marketing job here in Winona. And we'll be here permanently, which is really exciting. On the other hand, I miss seeing you back in Plymouth and wanted to let you know how influential you are and the purity group you led has been to me." Then he went on to describe how excited he was about the men's purity group that he started at his local church in Winona. As a college student, it started out with him and his buddies. They got real vulnerable one night, and they all came out with this the sexual sin that was in their life, and they decided, well, let's take this to the church. Let's start this at the church. And so they started this group at their church, and it just developed, and it grew, and pretty soon all these older guys wanted to get involved. And then it became this beautiful picture of brokenness in action, where God was reclaiming their lives and dedicating this intergenerational group of men to sexual integrity. But this is not all he said. He went on to say this. He said, "Something that I have been thinking a lot about is something you did a few months prior to me, dedicating my life to Christ and exposing my addiction. In youth group during my senior year, you shared some of your struggle with pornography addiction. Despite how quiet the room was that night, your vulnerability marked you as a safe person that I could talk to about this when the time was right. At the time, I was so in denial," which, yeah, makes sense, right? "But your honesty marked you as a future conversation." I wonder how many of us have been that vulnerable with people where they mark us as a future conversation. So then he went on to say this, and I don't feel this about my job right now, just so you know, or just, whoo, we're coming around here. This was very impactful for me, okay? So he said, "When it comes to an unrewarding job where you feel commonly judged on your numbers rather than the intangible works in a high schooler's life, I hope that you can feel encouraged that you make a tremendous difference on the people around you. Not only a life-changing difference for me, but all these people that have been reached in my church. Their future families may have a more functional relationship, laying a foundation for their children to grow up feeling loved, seen, and unaware of the grip of shame that once enslaved their fathers." You can imagine how I felt in that moment reading that. Just in the depths of my own little despair of like, God, are you doing anything? And then he shows up right when I needed it. And I just felt this overwhelming appreciation. And this is why I'm here today. This is why I stand up here today. In this moment, I did not come into ministry qualified. I might have gotten a little degree or something along the way, but I knew nothing. I knew nothing when I came into this. And I made a lot of mistakes. That doesn't qualify you. But God called me because he wanted to know me more deeply and give me the opportunity to get to know him and see him work in the lives of others. For me. And that's beautiful. And so you may be asking yourself, in this moment. That's great, Jake. That sounds cool. Good for you. But I'm really unqualified. You don't know my story. You don't know my family. You don't know my situation. And to that, I would say, yeah, I don't know it. But I got my own reel of things that I could share, and for whatever that means. But the reason why I'm up here is I chose to be vulnerable with you guys today, not because I want you to see how good I am or cool I am or talented or anything like that. There's really no talent in messing up. But I wanted you to know that God can use you despite your qualifications. And it could be like me, where it was one moment on one night at youth group with one conversation. You just have no idea what God wants to use you for. And so don't knock the little things. And sorry, that was terminology maybe by a younger crowd. Knock just means don't discount, okay? Don't discount the little things. And today is a great day to take a small step of faith and see what happens and just maybe be a little surprised like I was. So here's the point. Serving God is a great way to get to know him. You may feel your part is insignificant because you are just a greeter or you're just a coffee maker or you're just a nursery volunteer. But he knows what you're doing. And he always sees us and calls the unqualified. He knows what he's doing. And your serving is never unrecognized by him. So trusting him in the process will unlock maturity and spiritual growth in all the best kind of ways. So Westgate, here's my challenge to all of us, is let's grow together. Let's be unified in the ways that we love people. May that be what our community talks about when they talk about Westgate Church. People that love people. And now I'm going to hand it off to Kevin.
Thanks, Jake. I love that point, and I want us just to remember that, and that is that Jesus, it's not that he's about calling the qualified. He qualifies those he calls. And he will qualify you if he's calling you and he's moving in your heart. I know the time I was asked. When you put this together, I didn't know I'd be cleanup. And like in baseball, since they've all hit home runs, we're already won. So you probably are saying you can just call it a quits. But I just want to say one thing. And there's this incredible benefit of serving. And it's joy. I promise you that in serving, you will create experiences that will touch the hearts of people with joy, and you'll get to participate in that. But you will also, it's a two-for-one-er, because what's really cool is you get to touch hearts and see God move in people's lives, and he also then touches your heart. You know that BOGO, buy one, get one free? Jesus, for the joy set before him, says endured the cross, but you could say it this way, sacrificially served for you. It wasn't just so he could be with his father. It was because he wanted you to experience his incredible love. And in doing that, he experienced the love and the camaraderie of a bunch of people that he was serving and walking with. I just want you to think about, probably if you were to just go back in your mind and say, where have I been touched by God? Or where have I experienced a sense of love in my life? It's probably because someone sacrificially served you. It wasn't convenient. They didn't feel necessarily like they were the best person to do it, but they touched your life. I was just thinking about it when I was in middle school, and I was really a pain, okay? I was the pastor's kid, so it was kind of like, they can't kick me out of this church, right? So that wasn't a good thing. But anyway, but I remember Jim and Mary Lou Widstrom, with about two other couples, and this is when we went to church on Sunday nights. It would, you know, end of Sunday night, it would be a service to go from 7 to 8, whenever. They would take middle school kids and get a couple other parents, and we would go out for pizza every Sunday night. It wasn't a program in the church. It was just some people that said, we're going to serve these kids and love them. And that not just marked my life, but I can tell you all my friends, we still talk about it. But in talking to them as well, you know what happened? Here's the two-for-one-er. They got shared experience with other people that brought some of the kids, and they sat around, and they got to know them, and they loved them. When you serve, whether it be like this VBS this year, some of you served in VBS, it's not only you're serving people and you're touching kids' hearts, and you won't even know it someday. You may not even know how you've touched their hearts. But you also, when you were doing it, you were serving with other people. It creates shared experiences where you experience joy and meaning. So I just want to share with you, if you're saying, I want to get closer to some other people, I maybe don't feel as connected here, one of the ways you get connected is by serving with other people. And it's this incredible experience where you touch hearts because God's using you, and you get connected and experience, and you share that experience with others. I'll end on this. I remember, I'm a Cubs fan, right? And it's been a crummy year, so don't go there with me right now. But there was a time when they won. And I was so excited because I'm such a fan. And I was watching them win. I was all alone. It was such a bummer. I loved the fact they won, but I wanted to share that with someone. Because we're meant to share life with each other. And when we do that, there's this kind of explosive, anything's possible kind of joy that comes out of that. And so Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, sacrificially gave up time, met with people that you wouldn't think you'd meet with in order that he could serve you and me so we might know him and know one another. So I'm going to ask Luke to kind of just close it here. And Luke, thanks so much for sharing earlier as well. Well, you don't need this, do you?
Can I ask you to please stand? I said that we were going to help find that inspiration inside. I also said that we were going to equip you. And I want to let you know that our staff and some of the leaders of our different ministries have worked hard to make sure that you are well equipped to step into this journey of making things happen. Okay, so before you picture what's coming outside of church today, I want you to just pause. I want you to move slow because we today, right now, have some opportunities for you. Okay. First is that right outside behind the sanctuary here in the hallway in the lobby, there is a wall that says the joy of serving, and it's got several ministry areas with cards hanging below them. There's 30 plus different opportunities out there, opportunities for you to ignite a passion, to bring yourself, no matter how qualified you are, to experience the joy of serving. Behind some of those 30 different roles, there's a stack of, we could use 10, we could use 15 of these people. There is more than enough opportunities available to you, okay? Next door to that is our fellowship hall. Our Westgate Kids Ministry today is having a rally. They're having a lunch, okay? And it's not for those who are qualified. It's not for those who are already signed up. It's not for those who are for sure ready, 100% all in to go serve in kids ministry. It's for any one of you. Any one of you, no matter where you're at, whether you're currently serving already, you already have been serving, whether you even have an inkling, even a curiosity about what it would be like to serve in kids ministry, you'll notice on the wall back there that the most number of cards that we have available as opportunities to serve are under our kids ministry. And if you really want to dig into the depths of one of the primary functions of our job as a church body is to care for our youngest ones, to help raise them in the faith. Put those two together and then see where you fit in with that, okay? Lunch is available for anyone who's even curious about that, okay? And our team will lead through a little time of learning and discussing, okay? On the website, if you do need to get going and you don't have time to stop at the wall this Sunday, the wall will be up a few Sundays, we put all of those same opportunities available for you right now, westgatemn.church/serve. Every single one of those opportunities that describes the role, tells you what to do if you're interested or you want to learn more, it's all available, all 30 plus of them, okay? So if you can't stop today at the wall, but you can take some time to look at the app or look at the website to learn more about those serving opportunities, we would encourage you to do that, okay? We've been really intentional today about understanding together that this is not about the church begging you guys to come and fill needs that we have. That there is something much deeper going on
in what God wants to do in our body and through our body, okay? And so if you want prayer today, last opportunity is if you need some prayer after service, there's anything going on in your life, or even if it revolves around this idea of serving or using your gifts or your vulnerabilities or something that was said that sparked something for you, there will be a team in that corner, just like there is every Sunday, ready to pray for you. Okay? All right? And if you're confused about anything I just said because you tuned out and you need more coffee, just come ask me. Okay? I'll be around. Just come ask me and I'll clarify. Okay, let's end together with this benediction. I'll read the first line and simply ask you guys to respond with amen. May Christ, the head of this body, remind you today that you are loved and called to love.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, that each one of us has been given a gift which we are called to use for the building up of your church.
Amen.
Lord, guide us in finding our joy not from the superficial gains of this world, but from the giving of our gifts to others. And lead us, Holy Spirit, to participate in your glorious hope for the future through our experience of unity in this body. All God's people said,
amen.
Thank you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.